So thank you so much for being here. It's kind of fun and different that we have two sisters and a mom here. So we're just going to start off. So tell us about your family and your brother, Jacob.
So Jacob is our middle child, or the brother, middle of these two girls here. And he was diagnosed with autism at about 2.5, born a very lively, typical child from my perspective. He, you know, big chubby little thing.
He was huge.
Yeah, he was
huge. Wait, let me ask, what's the difference in the ages? The
2 years between school years were 2 years apart.
Okay.
Exactly.
17 months between Riley and Jacob, and then 25 months between Jacob and Carly.
Gotcha. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Jacob really was a typical child from our perspective. Mm-hmm. And at about 12 months, we started to notice that he wasn't responding to his name as well, but he was still just one, but he walked at his normal, actually young, probably 11 months for someone his size. Mm-hmm. So physically he was doing everything, pointing, doing all that good stuff, but his language was delayed and he seemed to stop with eye contact and mm-hmm. responding to his name right around between 12 and 18 months. And, you know, but the doctors just kept telling us that he's a boy, mm-hmm. you know, it'll come, all those typical things, right? Yeah. And so we just kind of kept, you know, because everything else seemed fine. It was just, yes, he's a boy. And so we kind of believed that that was just the case.
But did you have a feeling? Did you have a gut feeling?
I didn't have a gut feeling at the time because honestly, I knew nothing about autism.
Right.
So I didn't have any education myself on it. So I definitely knew that it was more than just a delay, but I never dreamed it would be something of that significance. Mm-hmm, it was mm-hmm. more of like, I should be doing something else. How come they're not helping me? I should be getting some services, like some speech mm-hmm. therapy or something. Like I kind of felt like that should have happened sooner. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, again, he was just funny. And I mean, he was great. He was a great kid. No issues, no temper tantrums or anything like that. I mean, so all of that was normal. It was just the eye contact got worse. The speech mm-hmm. delay was still there. And again, not responding to his name. Then this one was born.
Who's this one?
Carly. and at the time it was, you know, having the two kids, being pregnant with Carly, you know, all 3.5, within 3.5 years, mm-hmm. it was crazy. And so you kind of just kept hoping everything was going to be okay, but you were so busy with everything else. And then Carly was a colicky baby. So she cried for 8 months, yeah. 8 months straight. And
I've been told that was
it was really hard. Yeah. And but about May, so she was 5 months old. Now Jacob is now over 2. And I was like, this is not right. Like it got to that point where mm-hmm. I was like, we need to. So I had a consultation with my doctor's office, left Carly with her dad and was like, just listen to her cry. Cause she didn't cry as often because I could just nurse her the whole time. But I went into the doctor's office with Jacob and it was a different doctor, not his regular doctor. And literally within minutes, she knew. And
really?
Yeah. It's like, in hindsight, right? Like maybe you see different doctors because they all see different things as opposed to just having one. Mm-hmm. And she basically took this checklist out and she's like, this checklist has never been filled out in your file. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Why would I know? A checklist hasn't been filled out. So they never even did the actual like mm-hmm. assessment screening.
Right. Just right.
And so she, I think, panicked. And I love this doctor and I'm not going to mention names. I think she panicked. And so the way she handled it wasn't great because she went right into, we have to talk about autism. Here's a book. And it went from 0 to 100 in like 2 seconds. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so she literally, the whole thing was like a blur. And she sent me home with this book about autism. And I got home and I was bawling and I had no idea what was going on. But within 6 weeks, this doctor got us into Yale. So she fast because you know can take months, right? And then everything went really quickly and he ended up with, you know, birth of three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he only did that for a few months and then that wasn't a great experience, but that's a separate conversation. But then he went to ACEs down in town campus in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal program. And he's been in the Madison school system since. So that's kind of the backstop, you know, story on Jacob and his diagnosis and so forth. And then Carly stopped crying at 8 months. On our vacation and that summer. Yeah. Perfect timing.
So speaking of school, if I can jump right into this. And I'm glad that we have Carly and Riley here today, because we specifically want to talk about Jacob's transition into high school.
So how old is Jacob now?
He is 21.
Okay. So he's technically a senior?
Yes, hypothetically speaking, he's a senior in college.
And Strive. Senior at Strive.
But when he finishes this summer is the same time that his graduating class from Hand will be graduating college.
Okay.
Kind of fun. So yeah, I guess it's both like in a graduation. We have one of our cousins is also Jacob's grade. Yep. So he always had someone in high school that's family, but she graduates this summer and so does he.
So were the three of you in school together at once in high school?
No. So Riley had 2 years with Jacob. So the first 2 years. And then as soon as she graduated, I came in and I had 2 years with her.
Sorry, I'm really bad at math, so.
Yeah. You're good.
Yes. So when he was a freshman, I was a junior. And then when he was a junior, she was a freshman. So so it split up. So right when I left, she came in.
So it must have been
nice. That was nice.
It was the siblings together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when he was going into high school or getting ready, it must have been very exciting for him and for you guys as a family, but a little bit overwhelming.
Yes. So I was actually really excited for him to come.
Yep.
I actually was never stressed. I knew that I experienced that once in Jeffrey when I was a kid. I actually had a really hard time going to school with him just because at that time I didn't know how to handle anything. And I remember if I heard anyone make a comment or anything, I kind of like lost my mind. Mm-hmm. So now that I was older, I was excited to be there just to kind of look out for him.
Yep.
I was confident. I was not afraid to say anything. Also, I got really close with my friend at the time who also has autism. So I was just very comfortable. So for me, I was excited to, I drove him home from school almost every single day too, and to school, which was another story and a half. That was difficult.
We had
a lot of bonding time, I think, which was really great. So for me, him going to high school wasn't a really scary process. If anything, I think I was excited to be a part of it.
Was he excited?
He was. I mean, my mom said, he was been in the Madison system since he can remember. So he had his boys. He still calls them his boys.
Who are the boys? Who are the boys?
Talks about Shane Ryder, Carter, Seamus. Jack. I think he says Jack.
Jack. So there's like four of them that
I'm missing someone, but
he still references.
Mikey, Catalano, Luke.
Yeah, Mikey,
Conway.
Conway, yes. So, and they always looked out for him. And so he was comfortable, and he actually loved going back to school and seeing his boys.
Mm-hmm. I also think, I feel like Madison is somewhat of a small town, and I feel like everyone kind of knew Jacob in high school, and like everyone was supportive of him. Everyone loved him. Like, anyone who knew us, or they didn't even know us, but they knew Jacob every time.
He was famous.
Famous. We'd walk, like, I'd walk around, the halls, and I'd see people be like, Jacob! And he'd be like, hey. Or not even, he, like, wouldn't even say anything. He'd be like, don't talk to me. And then just walk away. That's how he'd respond to me in the halls.
But like you said, he had many days before high school started to transition in, which you can touch on that, but that was really important.
I think the school did a really nice job of, you know, of course, Madison, our junior high and our high school are on the same campus.
Right.
So they would spend days and they would, you know, in the spring, they would walk over to the high school. He would have a little job at the library. They helped the transition so much easier. And I think that's such a key for our children. The transition can be hard for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yes.
But for them, it's a little bit more, you know, heightened. And I think for Jacob, his communication skills are not great. So it's hard to get them ready for things, but visually and taking them someplace, meeting the people in person is so, so key. And I think that schools did a really nice job of that, because once he got to high school, he was familiar with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the benefit of being in the town and knowing everybody and everything, but it also became a detriment. So when he graduated from Hand, it was COVID. And then he transitioned to a new program, and it was obviously an abrupt thing for everybody in March of 2020, got stripped out of school. You know, he was like, what's going on? You know, and then he totally understood the virus thing and the mask. He totally got it. but he got to be home. And now all of a sudden he graduates through a, you know, car thing. So he kind of understood graduation because he was at the event, but he never got to physically go to Strive. He never got to meet anybody in person to then a summer of being on a computer. Well, that was not like for him to engage on that. They did a nice job. They tried, but
for him, it was their capabilities. Exactly. It was a horrible time for everybody.
But for him, it was useless. And then he started physically going, and he went from a community that he's known since he was three to that in a larger school, tons of people always being the ones to be reaching out to him, right? It was like, hey, Jacob, you know, whereas now he's in an environment where everyone's similar, a lot of not social, you know, they're not as social and so forth. And he, it was miserable. I mean, he cried every day for like months to the point where I was like, I felt guilty sending him. Right. Like it was awful. And I think he felt like we were punishing him or something. Like, I don't think he understood why he was there because we never got to do that transition.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was a great decision to keep him local and with his community, but I never thought about that next transition. And not to say I would do anything differently, but when you have a child that you have to, you know, think of all those different things, you can only do your best to make those decisions at that time. And I never dreamed about the impact of, yes, it was a great thing for those 18 years, but then it was like, okay, well, what's next? And that what's next was really, really hard. Really hard. And COVID just made it even worse.
Yeah, so because he was a senior COVID?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
you couldn't have gone and visit the program because of COVID. Right. So what could you have, in hindsight, what could you have possibly done differently? There's really nothing.
I don't think so. There was really, it was, you know, really, it was what it was. I mean, he had to suffer like all the students at that age, but for him, it was a little bit more confusing. And I'm sure the anxiety and so forth. It wasn't until that second year, because I didn't know what else at that point. I'm like, we have to give him a full year of like real, like we got without COVID, right? Like they lifted the mask. They, like I wanted to give him a chance to really get, enjoy the program because they do a lot of great things. And it was what really made a difference is that he started school and there was a couple students that he knew at hand that were now at the school. And I think that was enough for him to realize, oh, it's not just me going here. I'm at a new place and this is where I'm supposed to be, as opposed to, I think, and again, I'll never know exactly how he felt about it, but based on how he reacted the whole entire year, he was miserable. And I think this, that was like the sign, like, okay, it's okay. I'm here, you know, this person's here and this person's
here. So his connections were key.
The connections were key.
Mm-hmm. And I, well, and with high school too, I think that's what made it so, like that transition so much easier. And like, it really, I mean, I was in seventh grade and I feel like I don't remember it much, but I feel like it was pretty easy.
Yes.
Because he had all those connections. He had you, he had Regan.
Kenzie. He had three family members when he entered high school.
Right. Okay.
So I think in our situation, always it was the connections. Too. Yeah.
I think that helps too, because he always had a voice, you know, that's not, that wasn't a parent, someone actually in the school that was always looking out for him and had a voice for him.
I had to step in sometimes and I had to go to the principal's office. There's just, I'm looking out for things. So I definitely had a couple of scenarios that kind of got intense and I got
Can you tell us an example, like one?
Bullying type things or?
Yeah. Well, the craziest part, obviously I won't name names, but it was actually two teachers.
Really?
It was never kids. And my class all knows Jacob. Like, we're very, like, and everyone did. So it was never people and people. And I actually never saw that anywhere in hand of any. I did see bullying going around, but not towards the kids with disabilities. Just to, like, girls to girls. Like, you know, like classic high school.
Yep.
But I had an issue with two teachers. And one got to the point that I actually had to go to the principal's office. And actually got sent to detention because I was gone for so long. I was looking for Mrs. Kappa, Mrs. Kappa said, Kappa.
Oh, I'll think of it.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, I was looking for like the head of Jacob's like
special education.
Special education.
Yeah. At hand.
And they were happened to be on a field trip this day. And it was the day that I finally couldn't handle it anymore. And so I was in a class and it was this teacher and I had a kid in my grade in my class who was disabilities. And I was astonished at the way he was being treated. And I was sitting there and this was week after week. I had to sit. The teacher was treating the kid with disabilities.
What were they? Could we hear like,
So he, the guy in my grade would have a tantrum in the class and he'd have to be taken out. And she would talk badly about him right when he'd leave the room and make fun of him when he'd leave. Like, she would complain about him to the class when he would leave the room. She would roll his eyes at him. She would get frustrated. Just no respect at all. And if any, like, a figure, like a high figure, and she, like, that's where, like, people learn from higher figures. And to see that, I was
learning
an
example.
Yeah, I was just mind blown. And I remember it got to that point, like, I hit my boy, like, my skin was boiling. I had to, there was a sub that day. I was like, okay, this is it. So I left. I searched everywhere for anyone in the special education department. No one was there. And I was like, what is going on?
Capetta.
So I'm not, yeah, Capetta. Yeah. Yes. She's amazing. I was like, where's Mrs. Capetta? I was like, where is she? Literally, they were all gone. They're all on a field trip. So I'm now gone out of the room for 10 minutes. And I was like, you know what? I'm going. Actually, I went back to the class and I got detention because I was gone for too long. So when I went to the principal's office, I told him what happened and why I left the room. And school took care of it. And I feel bad that I interfered in the teacher's position, but it's just something that I'm fortunate that I was around. So Jacob had that teacher. So that's why it really got me, is that if this teacher's treating the kid in my grade like this, I can only imagine how she's treating my brother. And so that was when I just couldn't stand by it. So that was one scenario. Another scenario, I actually got in a full argument in the hallway with a teacher because he thought I was bullying Jacob. And I wasn't. I was just his sister.
Right. Yeah.
So Jacob hates being called Jake, right? Yeah. So I see him. So sometimes he loves doing this thing in the hallways. He hits every water fountain, like, in our hallways in school. So I got, like, I'm like, no, he's going to take a while. So I'm like, Jake, no, it's Jacob. Like, I'm just, like, messing with him like a sibling. You know, he's not actually getting mad. It's a funny thing we do at home.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's okay with it. He's all over the place. But
you never know with him.
But I got in trouble and yelled at. And I was like, I totally, and I was like, I'm happy you're looking out for these kids. And after I told him and explained it, I still was getting yelled at. And I was like, my only thing was, I was like, he's my brother. Like, you shouldn't. A big thing is not treating him any differently. Differently. I'm not going to coddle him. He's my brother. I'm going to mess with him like any sibling would in high school.
Right.
And I guess he just couldn't understand that. But so that was another scenario. But aside from that, it was great. I just had a couple run-ins with people.
And I think that any child with disabilities that goes through school, if they don't have that voice looking out for them, things do happen.
Oh,
and so
absolutely.
Just like, because in eighth grade, something happened with Jacob and where, you know, someone had bullied him, and it was my niece who called and told me what happened, and the school didn't even call me because I think they were trying to figure out what actually happened.
Right.
So I had to call the school and be like, what in the world just happened? And I feel so fortunate that he was surrounded by all of his family too.
Yeah. We got written apologies in letter form, texts.
Yeah.
So to all of us.
Yeah. So this is a little off topic a little bit, but has that, having Jacob as a brother, has that maybe molded the way you look at the world and.
Oh,
1000%.
Entirely. Yeah. I wrote my whole college essay on how Jacob changed who I am as a person, how I approach relationships, how I approach just life in general. Like whenever I'm sitting and someone says something, like there's someone in the streets and they look different, or they're doing something different. Like my immediate assumption, which is most people are like, oh, that person's weird or that person's crazy. I'm sitting here, I'm like, no, you don't know who they are. You don't know what they're, my entire approach. And I think I'm a much more honestly kind person because of him. I'm understanding. I care more. And I think he's impacted every person in the family. It's not just Carly and I, it's our cousins who we're a very close family. I mean, I know he's had nothing but a positive influence on my life. And he's the glue to our family, we always
say. For sure, yeah.
Like, when things are down, he makes a joke and it's like, everything's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I think it's not just like, I 1000% think that we're all much like kinder, better people because of him. But I also think he does bring that, just like that light to our lives where it's like, I even know, like, if I'm really upset and I'm like, can't get something out of my head, or like I'm stressing, like something like that happened recently and I was having like the worst day ever, came home, he was like making jokes with me, like hanging out, and I completely forgot about everything. He just really gives you like that perspective of like, okay, like life isn't like that serious. Like, you know, like he's just, he loves ice cream. He loves food. He loves watching movies every day. Like that's what he likes. That's what he loves family. Like it's the simple things that matter to him. And I think that really like plays an impact on our lives. Yeah. It brings us like down.
Did either of you, and especially you, Riley, because you were older and in the high school, did you ever go to any of his PPT meetings?
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was never involved in those. I mean, I would go to Unified Sports. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. I did luncheons, but not with Jacob, with my friend in my grade. Mm-hmm. So I essentially was honestly more heavily involved with the kids in my grade mm-hmm. with special needs than I ever was with Jacob. I don't know if that's because of the grade difference, but I wasn't involved in any of
but
those
But that's
things.
A really good point, actually, in that, again, hindsight. Like that probably right. would have been a great idea for all those 4 years to have Raya there and then to have Carly there because they're the ones that are living it and seeing what's happening in school. We had, we always talk about Jacob's team, but like my PPTs were my mom, Nan, mm-hmm. Grumps would come. My dad didn't just because he was lived farther away and was working. But it was like this full team would show up. Oh. And it was like, make more room for the family. Like,
no, I think
so I had support
advice.
There, but, yeah. and they were, it was great because there was always different perspectives. The more support you can have going
and
into
any
of these
ears,
things.
Because
yes,
somebody sitting next to you is going to hear something different.
And as mm-hmm. parents, we're very emotional. Mm-hmm. So we hear things differently. We interpret things differently as opposed to someone that could be a little more objective. But that would have been a great thing to have during that period of time for sure.
Right. Yeah, so I was just curious, just because it sounds like you're both just great advocates for your mm-hmm. brother and then the community in general.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, like I was saying, the reason why I came in here and had a conversation with you, I think the biggest thing with our community, especially Madison, I think there's a lot of people who are out there who want to help mm-hmm. and are willing to help. They just don't know how.
Right.
And I think that's a big barrier. I don't think just in Madison, I think in many communities is I think people want to show that they're helping, and I think they actually do want to help. It's just when it comes down to it, they truly don't know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And like, I know our grandmother, Noreen, she was really on people about actually being there mm-hmm. for Jacob, not just when you have to. Because Jacob didn't get invited to prom pictures, and she she was going around telling people that like, don't tell me you're friends with him. Your son's friends with him if he's not getting invited. Like she was going around like putting people in their place. And I think that's important because like, I think it's always nice to be supportive, but there comes a time that I think like the community and everyone can step up in a way. And I think just for a lot of people, they just don't know what that looks like. And it's tough, but it's just making that little extra effort.
So you have a captive audience here. And I'm sure our listeners would like to know what could they do or should they do if they want to help? Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah. I mean, just like little things, like for little ways, I think what's important is like just saying one hi in the hallways. Everyone knows Madison's a small town and some other high schools are. And especially like, I know population's going down a little bit. Like,
high schools
the kids
are a small town within themselves.
Oh, sorry.
Right?
Yes. It's like, you know, everyone within your class, like, and you know, like, and especially like the kids with special needs, you know who they are. I think just going out of your way to say hi, have those conversations. Like mm-hmm. whenever I see Tom in Starbucks, Tom Mancuso, who was in my grade, I have a long conversation with him. And it really doesn't hurt just to have those talks. It makes them feel recognized. And I think people realize the littlest things go a long way for them.
And that's just
and
true
they
in life in general.
Yes.
If you could be more aware of, you know.
I think disability awareness mm-hmm. is something that, it's much better than it was. Mm-hmm. My son's on the spectrum. He's 24 now. It's much better than what it was, but it still has a long way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's why it's hard telling people exactly what to do to help. But that's where I think the towns and the schools need to step in a little bit more and provide those opportunities. Like, yes, there's Unified Sports. There's chances you can volunteer there. I think we can do more. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough opportunity to help mm-hmm. volunteer and hang out with the kids. And half the time people don't know about them. So I think that's important.
I just learned that Guildford, I was just at one of their events with Jacob back before this past school year ended. And it was a Unified Sports event. It was a big carnival celebrating the end of the year. But someone told me while I was there that because the number of students from Guildford that were there was incredible. I've never seen that number of people from Madison at our and we have great kids in Madison, great families. It's not like, but they made it an actual class.
That's really a good idea.
So it's actually part of the curriculum. And so it actually brings more. So even though some kids are doing it just to put it on their resume, right? Oh, I did unified sport. Like there is that right. a little bit. But if you're giving, if making it a class and you're making it more available to kids, even outside, because people who play sports can't do unified sports.
Right.
Yeah, I was, I had a really hard time. I wanted
Carly
to
tried
so
to a couple
was
times.
It was just watch.
Yeah. So we had sports like every
right.
season.
So having really something during the day that's class oriented, you're
right.
getting credit for it. You can, that's definitely deserving of a credit in high
right.
school, right?
Yeah.
But it's building a base.
It's building
too.
A base.
Right.
And then as part of that, I think they learn so much more. And then the inclusion piece, like that, like Nan would say, or Nan would say, it's like during those big events at school, you know, our kids aren't that social. They don't have a, so
right.
be more inclusive. I mean, we should
yeah.
all be more inclusive mm-hmm. anyway. But I think, you know, when you have prom pictures or if you have an eighth grade dance or whatever, it's nice to go with some friends. It's nice to, you know,
right.
and it's one thing for us parents to get our, you know, obviously you network with the people who have kids with disabilities. So we can do that kind of stuff and we've tried, but it's more meaningful for the kids when they're being included by their peers as
yeah.
opposed
Absolutely.
To
mm-hmm.
parents constantly doing
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's great. Cause I think then too, it also maybe would give them more exposure to how to really be social and
oh, absolutely.
Growing that up versus
yeah.
now. Cause you know, Jacob, he likes to be with his friends, but he doesn't, you know, he has a phone. Like I started having him text friends, but he doesn't do like he's not good at it. Like it's not, you know. So I think that's
it's funny that you say that. My son's very much into video games and things like that, but he is the worst communicator,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to like texting and phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
He lives on his own. But it's, I was like, did you see the text? Oh yeah, I saw it. I go, could you respond something?
Right.
And it's so funny because he loves technology. But it's
not
horrible.
That part, right?
Not
mm-hmm.
the communication
yeah.
part?
No. Mm-mm.
So it's interesting because I'm listening to, as a family, describe, you know, Jacob in his high school years. And they were literally perfect. Like, he could not have had a better high school experience until he went to his, you know, college program, STRIVE program. And it's ironic because I thought, you know, as a family, you would be helping him. But it seems like he's probably helped you guys more than you did in high school. I mean, just what you're saying, Riley, about, you know, being more compassionate, understanding to somebody that, you know, a stranger might think is acting inappropriate. You're like, well, wait a minute, let's take a, you know,
right.
stop and like assess the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And just even what we're saying today about educating the high school kids about
mm-hmm.
working and just being friends with people that are different than yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kudos to Guilford for doing that. And I think that, you know, if anything, we should start really looking at that at this level across, you know, these shoreline towns that are hearing this podcast right now. Because
yeah.
we're not doing enough.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, I agree. I think the students and like the actual community has been like it was like pretty perfect. It was amazing. I think like at least in our shoes, I think with Jacob, I think his experience was really great and all the kids were amazing to him. But I do definitely think there's still more that can be done having classes like that. Having a class like that, how Guilford had it, is both amazing for both sides. Because obviously it's amazing for inclusion and getting them like exposure and, you know, being with other kids all the time rather than just being in like their own class. But it's also amazing for all the other students who aren't in those, don't have disabilities or aren't in those special education classes, because then they have more exposure to kids with disabilities and have a deeper understanding. Whereas just saying hi to them and kind of knowing who they are, they don't fully understand it. Whereas
yeah.
if you are in a class with them and we're really interacting with them, you just learn so much more about kids with disabilities and kind of how their life works and like how hard and like difficult it can be at times.
Well, a typical
yeah.
kid too, obviously, you know, it, not to say anything disparaging about them, but maybe they do want to help, like you're saying.
Yeah.
But where do they go from
here? There's no
opportunity to ask
exactly.
questions
because yeah.
they don't want to offend somebody.
Yeah.
So I think just really looking at it from that perspective, I think there's a lot of high schoolers out there that would jump on this bandwagon and
mm-hmm.
just, you know,
completely.
Hear this message.
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
I'm not going to lie. I also, not to like shoot down teens, but I think part of the reason why people don't go that extra step. Like, yes, Jacob had a great community and stuff, but where were they over the summer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's my biggest thing. And I think that part of that is I think a lot of teenagers are uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah.
Like them themselves internally are awkward that they don't know how to facilitate conversation. So I think it's a mix of insecurity and just like, 'cause I know Jacob's made me an extremely confident person. I'm comfortable in talking to anyone, whatever situation it is. And I know today, day and age with technology and COVID also, like, I think people are uncomfortable and I think they're awkward. They can't handle that silence, which when you're talking with a lot of kids with special needs, there's that long period of silence that you just got to accept, let it take them time to speak. And I think for a lot of people, it makes them uncomfortable. So I think it's a really positive thing to have classes and stuff like that for them to grow. It's not, it's not just about them, but for also the teenagers to grow as people and just to learn how to have those conversations. So I think that's another big aspect to why kids don't feel comfortable reaching out, is that I don't think they know how to themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think they get uncomfortable. And that they get awkward. I've seen it firsthand. Like people trying to have conversations with, whether it's my brother or someone else, they get so
My older son, he was, I want to say it was his freshman year, and he was on the football team where he went to Fordham, and they had this one guy who was, he knew right away he was on the spectrum, and he was like the big fan, so he was always at everything, and they walked out of the practice, and he was there, and he's like, you know, I was with like five or six of my buddies, and they like all ignored him, like they didn't know how to act around him. He's like, guys, he's not going to bite you, like, talk to him, you know, like. So I think, you know, we could do a whole podcast just on disability awareness. Like, I think it needs to start in kindergarten. From day one, you know. So, because then you see these kids are who are in college, and he was laughing about it. He was laughing, but he was also a little sad about it. He's like, they didn't know how to act. Like, they, it was like, it was bizarre to him. It was bizarre to him.
Like, because he understands and he knows, but it is mind-blowing. Yeah. Sometimes the, and I don't want to say the ignorance, but like the unawareness of just how to enter. They're just humans.
Like it's he
just
sat down and talked to him and he wanted my son's autograph. They took a picture together. Like, he was like, it was 5 minutes and he was so happy. Like, you know, so it does start early, you know, and it sounds like Jacob is just, you guys have an amazing family. And so, but in closing, and I know I want to go back to the one thing you said about the transition and how great the school system made it. So I think that's one thing to say to families who are going to, who are now in seventh and eighth grade, and you're starting to think about that transition is, you know, make sure you are, there is an aspect of that, that they go and visit the school, not just once, a couple of times, multiple times. And, you know, what other, are there any other key recommendations you would give to families who are doing that transition from eighth grade into high school?
I think, I mean, each child is so different, so what their needs are going to be different, but I think just whatever that need is, preparing them both visually with introductions, physically being at where you're going to go as many times as you possibly can so that they really are comfortable with it. Because they made a book for Jacob because he's very visual. So even in eighth grade, to have a picture book, that's, he still had it because it helped him understand, this is where I am now, this is where I'm going next year. And they would always, calendars, any way so that they fully understand what that transition is going to look
like. And talk about it.
And talk about it. Get them there as much as possible. Meeting his new teachers or her new teachers. The faculty there, I mean, all those things are only going to help in that transition, because I think transitions for many kids with disabilities is really, really tough. For Jacob, because it's been the same place, it, the transitions weren't always that tough because they did do such a good job with giving him a full visual of what was going to happen until the last one, because we didn't get that chance. But preparing them as to the best of your ability to know what's coming up next is, I think, so important. And then find your support people to help you, because you can't do it alone. Friends, family, you know, whatever you can find is super important. And then just be an advocate for your child, but also be a part of the team at school too. I think as parents, sometimes we, you know, we want the best for our kids, but we have to put some faith and trust in our teachers and the people that are working with them. It can't be a battle. You're on the 100%. Same team. You're all trying to work towards the better good. And I think the one thing I can say for Madison is I always felt that we were a team. And I think that they, you know, I might have had complaints or this different things, but like they really were always very responsive and very supportive. They couldn't always give me everything I wanted because that's, you know, but they did a pretty good job. So I just think be a team. Don't, once you start fighting, then it's just, it's not fun for anybody. Yeah. It's not, but then that also goes to a school district that it, we were fortunate to be in a school district that was very supportive and, you know, in our situation was a really good experience. So
fantastic. Well, thank you so much, all three of you, Riley, Carly, and Sharon, for really giving us a, you know, a great look into Jacobs High School years, and love how this segued off into disability awareness as well. Yeah. It just, it's a really great podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Spotify, and Sarah Inc.'s website. Our podcast is designed to help you find the resources you need for children and adults with intellectual and or developmental disabilities or delays. If you have a topic you want to learn more about, let us know. We would love to hear from you.